Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. This week has been, well, frankly, a bit of a fire hose of tech news, wouldn't you say?
It certainly has. It feels like every company's been making announcements left and right.
Yeah, and for our listeners, you know, we're not just going to summarize headlines. We've dug deep into a whole pile of articles, blog posts, you name it, to get to the good stuff, especially focusing on storage this week. Seems like that's where a lot of action is. But also AI, because, well, where isn't AI these days?
And how we connect our devices. There's some really interesting stuff brewing on that front, too. So think of this deep dive as your cheat sheet to understanding what actually matters in this avalanche of information.
Exactly. Our mission today is to extract those key aha moments from all these sources, you know, those nuggets that make you go, that's going to change things.
Right. So just to quickly set the stage, we've got some major themes emerging from what we've been reading. On the NAS front, Proxmox, Ugreen, Blackmagic, TerraMaster, QNAP, they've all got some new developments, innovations. SSDs are also seeing a huge performance jump. Lexar and Kioxia have some interesting news there. Then there's this whole new connectivity standard coming out of China, GPMI, which could shake things up. And of course, we'll cover those crucial software and security updates, you know, the things you absolutely need to know to keep your system safe. Western Digital, Unraid, WinRAR, Proxmox again, they've all pushed out some important updates.
So quite a lot to unpack. Shall we dive right in with NAS network attached storage, the backbone of so many home and business setups?
Let's do it. Proxmox backup server version 3.4 just dropped. Anyone who's serious about data protection, especially offsite backups, should definitely take note.
Backups, the thing we all know we should be doing, but sometimes put off, right?
All too often, sadly. But Proxmox is making a compelling case for taking backups seriously. This update, it's really all about efficiency.
Always a good thing, efficiency. So what have they done to make backups faster or smoother?
Well, the big one, especially for folks using deduplication, is much faster backup times. They've introduced this new metadata caching system. Now, for those who may not be super familiar, deduplication basically means the system is smart enough to avoid storing the same data multiple times. Saves a ton of space. But the process of managing all that can be a bit resource intensive.
Makes sense.
This new caching, it speeds up the garbage collection process, which is basically cleaning up unused data chunks. Does this by reducing how often the system needs to write metadata to the disk. Might use a little more memory, but the result is much snappier performance. And get this, you even have the control to adjust this caching behavior on a per storage basis.
Ah, so flexibility for power users too.
Yeah.
Quicker backups, potentially less wear and tear on the drives. That's always welcome. You mentioned offsite backups too. Any improvements there?
Oh, definitely. Proxmox has beefed up the filtering options for those all-important sync jobs. You can now specifically say, hey, only sync backups that have been encrypted or only those that have passed verification.
Yeah.
So if you've got multiple sites, or maybe you have to adhere to some pretty strict regulations, this gives you incredibly fine-grained control over what actually gets sent off-site. Adds a whole extra layer of security and trust. You know those backups are good before they leave your premises.
Makes perfect sense, especially for environments where compliance is crucial. Anything else stand out in this Proxmox update?
Oh, they've also managed to speed up tape backups, believe it or not. By allowing multi-threaded reading of those data banks, they've significantly cut down the time it takes to complete those large archival jobs. And for the command line enthusiasts out there, they've introduced a portable, statically linked CLI binary. Basically, this means it's easier to deploy on different Linux systems, even if you're not running a full Proxmox virtual environment.
Ah, so more flexibility there. What about the underlying, you know, the guts of the software?
They've built this on a rock-solid foundation, Debian 12.10, Linux kernel 6.8.1209. But you can opt for 6.14 if you need it. And of course, ZFS 2.2.7 is fully supported. And let's not forget, Proxmox backup server, it's still free and open source, with the option for enterprise support starting at 540 euros per server, if you need that extra peace of mind.
Free and open source, but with a commercial option, that's a model we see quite often, and it provides a lot of flexibility. You also included a screenshot of the Proxmox interface. What kind of information jumps out from that?
Oh, the dashboard.
Yeah.
It's really well designed, gives you a clear overview of how things are running. You instantly see how much storage you're using across all your data stores. You can quickly identify any backup jobs that are taking a bit longer than usual. And of course, check on your subscription status. You know, just the essential information you need to manage your backup server effectively.
Speaking of effective management, Ugreen really made a splash at NAB Show this year, unveiling what they're calling, and I love this, the world's first AI-integrated NAS devices, their NASYNC IDX series. Now, that sounds like a pretty bold claim.
It certainly is. But you know what's really interesting here? It's their laser focus on content creators.
Ah, so not just for the home user who wants to back up family photos.
No, no, this is for the serious content creators, the video editors, photographers, the folks dealing with massive amounts of data. These NASYNC IDX devices, they're powered by Intel Core Ultra CPUs, and they've gone and integrated, get this, large language models, LLMs, directly into the operating system.
LLMs on a NAS, that's pretty cutting edge. For those who might not be super familiar with LLMs, they're basically the brains behind all these really sophisticated AI-powered language applications.
Exactly. And think about what content creators struggle with. It's often the mundane tasks, you know, sifting through thousands of photos to find that one perfect shot, or trying to locate a specific file buried deep within some massive project folder.
Yeah, or tagging everything properly so you can actually find it later.
Oh, absolutely. And what about extracting the key insights from hours of meeting recordings? Ugreen is promising to tackle all of these pain points with AI directly on the NAS. They've got this AI photo album for smart image organization. They're talking about smart tags to automatically assign metadata. Then there's LLM search, so you can use natural language to find your files. There's even an AI chat interface. And get this, they've got a feature called smart meeting summarization.
So it's not just dumb storage anymore. It's becoming this intelligent assistant for your creative workflow.
Precisely. And the hardware, they're not skimping there either. Up to 160 terabytes of storage, which is just massive. Dual 10GBE ports for high-speed networking. And they're serious about security, full end-to-end encryption. They even have Tuvan Trust certifications. They've also developed their own operating system, UGOS Pro, specifically designed for this kind of AI-enhanced content handling.
It sounds like Intel is pretty impressed too, judging by Larry Blackburn's quote.
Yes, he specifically called out the advanced AI capabilities of the Intel Core Ultra processors, saying how this level of integration can fundamentally improve the user experience for data storage solutions. And that's exactly what Ugreen is going for here. They're positioning this as a paradigm shift, marrying the power of AI with the security and local performance of NAS.
Yeah, and they're not just talking about it in vague terms either. The IDX 611 model specifically features a 14-core Intel Core Ultra 5 processor and prominently mentions this AI smart dialogue feature, which is clearly powered by that LLM. Plus, they're talking about some pretty sophisticated AI-driven image recognition. And, you know, for creators who are dealing with, I mean, frankly, enormous amounts of often very sensitive data, having that kind of intelligence locally on your NAS, that's a huge deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, shifting gears a bit, Blackmagic also made an interesting announcement, their Cloud Backup 8. This seems to be aimed at a slightly different segment of the market, though.
Yeah, this is definitely more of a pro-level solution, something you'd find in a film studio or a big production house. What's the core idea here?
It's essentially a rack-mountable NAS, 8 drive bays, 4 10GBE ports, specifically designed for high-speed media backup and syncing with, well, Blackmagic Cloud. The really cool part is that it has a live HDMI status output right on the device.
Ah, so you can hook up a monitor and see what's going on.
Exactly. It provides a real-time visual representation of all your storage operations, you know, how much space is being used, what data is being transferred, all of that. Really valuable in a fast-paced studio environment.
Absolutely. And the cloud syncing, is this primarily for backups or is there more to it?
Well, it's designed specifically for backing up those big collaborative video editing projects done in DaVinci Resolve. The idea is to maintain a local, high-speed cache of all that media, but keep it constantly synced with the cloud. So you've got the redundancy and safety of cloud storage, but also the low latency of having everything accessible locally.
Best of both worlds. Any subscription fees or anything like that to worry about?
Nope. Blackmagic has explicitly said no subscriptions, no licenses, no usage tracking, which... it's a pretty big selling point for a lot of users. They've got a free management utility for Mac OS and Windows.
Grant Petty's quote about how this gives you the convenience of the cloud, but with the control and affordability of local storage, that really resonated with me. It's clearly aimed at users who want that peace of mind of cloud backups, but without giving up control of their data.
Precisely. Now let's look at something a bit different in the NAS space. TerraMaster has introduced the D9320, which isn't actually a standalone NAS device. It's a 9-bay expansion enclosure.
Ah, so you'd use this to add more storage to an existing NAS or server.
Exactly. It connects via a USB 3.2 Gen 2 port, so it's pretty fast, and you can add up to a whopping 198 terabytes of storage. But the real innovation here is there, and I quote, independent drive power control system.
Now that sounds interesting. What does that even mean?
Each of those 9 drive bays has its own physical power switch.
You mean like an on-off switch for each individual drive?
You got it. So in addition to the main power switch for the whole unit, you can actually power down specific drives that you're not using. They claim you can save up to 70% on power consumption by doing this.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's a huge deal for anyone who needs to scale their storage, but is worried about those ever-increasing energy bills.
Mm.
Plus, it's also a great way to reduce noise if you have drive spinning that you're not actively using. And the flexibility, oh man, you can set up all sorts of RAID configurations. It's compatible with a whole bunch of different operating systems and NAS solutions, including TerraMaster Zone, TrueNAS, Unraid, even Proxmox. It's also OS agnostic thanks to the USB-C connection, and it even supports Thunderbolt 3 and 4.
So modularity and energy efficiency, those are the big takeaways here. Really clever. Now, last but not least, in the NAS world, we've got news of a partnership between QNAP and Network Optics. What's the story there?
It's all about surveillance. QNAP, known for their robust NAS hardware, is teaming up with Network Optics, the folks behind the powerful Nexus Witness Video Management System, or VMS. The idea is to let certain QNAP NAS devices act as both the storage and the server for Nexus Witness.
Ah, so a kind of all-in-one solution for video surveillance.
Exactly. Simplifies the deployment and potentially brings down the cost for integrators and users. QNAP NAS end devices, they have some pretty beefy networking options too, which is critical for smooth streaming and recording of high-resolution surveillance footage, you know, 4K, even 8K.
Yeah, you don't want any lag or dropped frames when it comes to security.
Absolutely. And of course, you get all the data protection features of a QNAP NAS, RAID support, snapshots, all of that to ensure that your recordings are safe and sound. They've even made it possible to run the Nest Witness server directly within a virtual machine on a QNAP NAS, which further simplifies things. It really positions QNAP as a serious player in the world of intelligent, high-resolution security solutions.
It seems like the NAS world is just bursting with innovation these days. AI integration, power management, streamlined surveillance solutions, it's definitely an exciting space to watch. Let's shift gears now and talk about another essential part of our digital lives, solid-state drives, SSDs. We saw some really impressive advancements here, particularly from Lexar and Kioxia.
Yeah, Lexar has just announced their new flagship SSD, the NM1090 Pro, and it's an absolute beast.
Oh yeah, I saw those specs, 14,000 megabytes per second read speeds. That's just ridiculous. What kind of wizardry are they using to achieve that kind of performance?
Well, they've got Silicon Motion's latest and greatest controller, the SM2508, which is manufactured on a 6-nanometer process.
Yeah.
So already very cutting edge. Then you add in up to 4 gigabytes of DRAM cache and Micron's advanced 232-layer TLC NAND flash memory, and you've got a recipe for some seriously impressive speeds.
And all that without needing active cooling.
That's the really impressive part. Unlike some other PCIe 5.0 drives that are hitting these kinds of speeds, Lexar is saying that the NM1090 Pro can handle it all passively.
That's huge. Means less noise, simpler installation, one less thing to worry about. What about the price tag on this speed demon?
They've announced prices for the 1, 2, and 4 terabyte models, and while it's definitely a premium product, the pricing seems pretty competitive within that high-end segment. Makes it a very tempting option for anyone who needs an ultra-fast boot drive, or maybe a high-speed scratch disk for video editing or something like that. And if you compare it to their standard NM1090, the performance jump is really dramatic. That comparison table in the article really highlights the difference, especially in terms of read and write speeds. You can also see the different controllers they're using.
It seems like Silicon Motion's SM2508 controller is really going to be the driving force behind this next generation of super fast SSDs. Now, Kioxia also had some exciting news, but their announcement is more about prototypes and the future direction of storage technology, right?
Yes, their optical SSD. This is a fascinating glimpse into what might be coming to data centers in the not-too-distant future. Kioxia, in collaboration with AIO Corp and Kyocera, they've shown off this prototype of a broadband optical SSD that uses, get this, fiber optic connections instead of the traditional electrical interface.
Wait, so instead of copper wires connecting the SSD to the system, they're using optical cables.
Exactly. The big idea here is to create more sustainable and even faster data centers. By switching to optical, they can significantly increase the distances between the compute resources and the storage devices without sacrificing signal integrity or efficiency.
So longer distances, no performance loss, that's pretty impressive. What about the hardware involved?
This prototype uses AIO Core's optical transceiver and Kyocera's Opportunity optical module. And they've already shown that they can achieve zero performance loss over a 40-meter fiber optic cable.
That's a pretty significant distance. What's the overall goal here?
This research is part of a larger Japanese initiative called Next Gen Green Data Center, which aims to reduce data center energy consumption by over 40%. And this technology, it could play a major role in achieving that. Imagine being able to separate the compute and storage resources in a data center. You could have, say, a building dedicated to CPUs, which often require a lot of cooling, and then another building for SSDs, which don't generate as much heat. Connect them all with fiber optics, and boom, you've dramatically reduced your cooling requirements.
And potentially simplified the design of data centers, too. One of those diagrams in the article shows exactly that, a CPU room with water cooling and a separate SSD room with just standard air conditioning connected by optical cables. The potential efficiency gains are pretty clear. And Axel Sturman from Kioxia, his quote about this technology being revolutionary for sustainable data centers, that really sums it up.
It's a potential game changer, no doubt. And speaking of potential disruptions, let's talk about connectivity. A group of over 50 Chinese tech companies has announced a new standard called GPMI, General Purpose Media Interface. And it seems pretty clear they're taking aim at HDMI.
A new competitor to HDMI. Wow, that's a bold move. Who are the main players behind this and what are they trying to achieve?
It's a pretty big consortium. It includes heavy hitters like Huawei and TCL. Their stated goal is to create an open, high-performance standard that can handle data, video, audio, and even power all through a single cable. And a key driver here, they want to get rid of those pesky licensing fees and royalties associated with HDMI.
Ah, so it's about both technical advancement and, well, a bit of economic independence.
Yeah, exactly. They're planning two main variants of GPMI. Type-C, which is designed to be physically compatible with existing USB-C ports, that one can handle up to 96 gigabits per second of bandwidth and deliver up to 240 watts of power.
That's already pretty impressive, especially the power delivery.
Then there's Type B, which uses a new but still reversible connector. This one is even more powerful, up to 192 gigabits per second of bandwidth and a whopping 480 watts of power delivery.
192 gigabits. That blows HDMI 2.1 and even DisplayPort 2.1 out of the water. And 480 watts, I mean, you could power a serious gaming laptop with that.
It is pretty mind-blowing. They're envisioning a future where you can connect pretty much anything with a single cable. And they've even thought about backwards compatibility, including some auxiliary data links for device management and a limited USB 2.0 connection.
Clever. So what's the timeline for this? When can we expect to see GPMI devices hitting the market?
Well, the Type-C variant has already gotten the thumbs up from the USB Implementers Forum, which is a good sign. And they're aiming for a domestic rollout in China by 2027. Whether it catches on globally, that remains to be seen.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. That comparison table really highlights just how much more bandwidth GPMI offers compared to HDMI. And when you factor in the potential cost savings for manufacturers, because they wouldn't have to pay those HDMI licensing fees, it could be a pretty compelling proposition.
It could definitely shake things up. And, you know, it's also a clear sign of China's ambition to become less reliant on Western technology standards.
Okay.
Now let's move on to some critical software and security updates.
Yeah, this is the stuff that everyone needs to pay attention to, regardless of what kind of tech they're using. Western Digital has a new firmware update for their MyCloud Home devices. What's the main focus there?
Security, security, security.
Yeah.
Version 9.8.0102 addresses a handful of CVEs. Those are common vulnerabilities and exposures. One is a Docker authorization bypass. That's CVE 2024-41010. Then there's a vulnerability in the FFmpeg transcoding engine, CVE-2022-3109, and finally, a local privilege escalation issue in the GLI-BC library, CVE-2023-4911.
Sounds pretty serious. What should my Cloud Home users do?
The good news is these updates will be applied automatically. So as long as your device is connected to the internet, you should be protected.
Automating updates, always a good thing when it comes to security. Now, Unraid OS has also released a new beta version.
Yes, version 7.1.0 beta.3 is out now for those brave souls who like to live on the bleeding edge. And there were some really nice improvements in this one. Native support for wireless networking, so you can finally use Wi-Fi without any workarounds.
Oh, wow. About time.
Yeah, that's been a long-requested feature. You can also import ZFS pools created on other systems now, which is really handy. And they've done some work under the hood to make the WebGUI more responsive, which is always nice. Plus, they've updated the kernel to Linux 6.1.2.2.1, which includes support for Intel's upcoming BattleMage GPUs.
Nice! So some good reasons to be excited about this beta. Any caveats, though?
Well, being a beta, there are always a few rough edges. They've identified a bug where if you uninstall the Unraid Connect plugin, the web GUI can become unresponsive. You have to reboot to fix it. And they're still working on some memory-related issues with the Unchan web server component.
So probably not something you want to install on your main production server just yet.
Definitely not. Test systems only for now.
Good advice. Now, for a piece of software that a lot of people use almost daily, WinRAR has also pushed out an update to address a security concern.
Right. Version 7.11 fixes a pretty nasty vulnerability, CVE-2025-31334. This one could allow attackers to bypass the mark of the web protection using specially crafted symbolic links within archives.
Mark of the web, that's the thing that gives you that security warning when you download a file from the internet, right?
Exactly. It's supposed to warn you that a file might be dangerous because it came from an untrusted source.
Mm.
But this vulnerability could suppress that warning, so you might end up running a malicious file without realizing it. They've given it a pretty high severity rating for a reason.
Yikes. So what does the update do?
The new WinRAR properly preserves and applies the mark of the web metadata to symbolic links when you extract files. So those warning dialogs will now show up as intended. Anyone who regularly downloads files, especially archives, should update immediately.
Another crucial update. And finally, in the hardware realm, Raspberry Pi has a new power supply.
Yeah, it's a 45-watt USB-C power supply, and it's only $15. This is a step up from their previous models, supports a wider range of voltages, even enough to power some laptops that charge over USB-C.
Oh, so it's not just for Raspberry Pis anymore.
Nope, it's a pretty versatile little charger. And of course, it has specific 5.1-volt profiles optimized for the Pi 4 and the new Pi 5, with support for up to 5 amps of current. They've also included a longer 1.5-meter cable this time, and they're using high-quality Panasonic capacitors for better longevity. It's compatible with all sorts of USB power delivery devices, laptops, phones, tablets, you name it.
Sounds like a solid upgrade. So, to wrap things up, we've covered a ton of ground today. AI-powered NAS devices are becoming a reality. SSDs are getting faster than ever before. There's a new connectivity standard on the horizon that could challenge HDMI. And of course, there's essential security updates that everyone needs to be aware of. I hope this deep dive has given you a good sense of what's happening in the tech world and what it all means.
It's been a whirlwind of announcements, for sure. But I think the big takeaway here is this convergence of AI and hardware. And we're also seeing a push for more open standards, especially in connectivity. It's going to be fascinating to see how all of this plays out in the next few years. How will it change the way we work, how we store our data, even the kinds of devices we use on a daily basis?
Big questions, for sure. And if any of the specific products or technologies we talked about today have sparked your curiosity, we encourage you to dig into the source material. There's a lot more detail to be explored there.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us for another deep dive, everyone. We'll see you next time.